The kid didn't stand a chance. That's what people said about Ian when he was a little boy, growing up in the projects of inner-city Chicago, hiding under the bed while his mother turned tricks to keep the heat turned on and a needle in her arm. That's what they said when he came to school wearing the same dirty sweater for months, when the lice infestations got so bad the school nurse was forced to shave his head, when he grew more and more withdrawn until most of his classmates couldn't remember his name. But what no one realized was that Ian was different than the other lost and forgotten children. He was special, the one in a million person who could live without love or kindness and who bounced back stronger every time the world knocked him down. Later on in his life, the words sociopath and psychopathic tendencies would be bandied about by social workers and one of his more astute commanding officers, but Ian only accepted one label, survivor. He was a survivor, and he was going to come out on top or die trying. When he was still too young to go to school, Ian lay on the filthy floor beneath his mother's bed while she entertained her clients. He studied the delicate legs of the dead bugs littering the ground beneath the ancient four-poster, tuning out the sound of the squeaking mattress as he imagined the house he'd have when he grew up. It would be a mansion with 100 rooms and a flock of servants to clean them. And if he discovered dust under a bed or a dead bug curled in a corner, he would punish the housekeeper responsible until she understood that Ian required excellence from everyone and everything associated with Hawk Manor. His mansion would be like Wayne Manor, Batman's house, but even bigger, without any stuffy butlers bossing him around or bat caves hidden beneath it. Ian didn't want to save humanity, or even Gotham City. He just wanted to be bigger, meaner, and richer than anyone else, and he wanted the entire world to know it. Once he was grown and richer than Batman, no one would look at him with pity in their eyes. They would look at him with respect or fear, or they wouldn't look at him at all. He didn't mind being invisible. There were times when he preferred to fade into the background, becoming part of the shadows until the moment he chose to make his presence known. It was an art he'd mastered before he learned to walk, a necessary survival technique growing up in a home with a short-tempered mother and an endless stream of Johns who were never happy to see a kid hanging around. By age 3, Ian was a master of camouflage. By age 6, he'd learned to use his ability to blend in with a crowd to hunt for the things he needed. At first, he hunted food, stealing from the local bodegas and then the fancy grocery stores downtown, acquiring a taste for the finer things he wouldn't have known existed without his swift, clever hands. As he grew older, his criminal proclivities expanded. He learned to hunt for wallets and expensive clothes and pretty girls, the kind who wouldn't give him the time of day if they knew where he'd come from and all the terrible things he'd done. He hunted drugs to sell, weapons to defend himself, and enough money to escape the neighborhood and to make his dreams come true. But then, days after his 18th birthday, Uncle Sam stepped in and changed the course of his life, drafting him into the first tour of duty in Vietnam. Uncle Sam put an even bigger, better gun in Ian's hand, money in his pocket, and, most wonderful of all, gave him free rein to kill. And kill he did.